Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, the John Maxwell Facilitator and Coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, the Vice President of John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Today's topic is titled, From the Mouth of a Millennial, About Leading Millennials.
Excited. Looking at me.
So obviously you know we have a guest in the studio because neither Perry and I, matter of fact, Perry made this statement on one of our recent podcast. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm a millennial. I'm just from a different millennia.
So that's exactly right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In studio today, I have one of our team members, Eric Corona, is with us. Eric is one of our consultants that works with organizations around the world, representing John, his brand, on the corporate side of things. Eric, we're so grateful for you joining us today. Why don't we just kick off and you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for having me in the studio, guys. Long time listener. First time guest here. As Chris said, my name's Eric Corona. I'm the Senior Director of Leadership Development at the John Maxwell Company. So all that basically means is I partner with organizations, get to learn a little bit more about their leadership culture and serve them well through our different leadership trainings, coaching, assessments, et cetera. So let me give you a few dates that are going to frame things up on why I am the local millennial expert here. So born in 1985, so that makes me 33 and a card-carrying member of the millennial group. I graduated high school in 2004 from Walton High School here in Atlanta. And then college from the University of Georgia in 2009.
Now we're talking.
Go Dogs.
Hey, go Dogs. I did that for you, Perry. So you'll notice if you do a little math there, 2009.
Your son plays there. I'm now the.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you do the math, right, 2009, 2004, you can tell I capitalized on an extra year. I got to stay for another football season. So, guys, I am the husband of my beautiful wife, Natalie. I've got three young kids, a six-year-old son, four-year-old daughter, and a two-year-old son as well. So just looking forward to being here with you guys today.
Wow, Chris, that made me feel old.
You feel the energy in the room? Like, I feel like there's a different energy with this millennial here.
Millennial from this millennial.
I love it.
So let me just review before we dive in about being a millennial and what that means. So a lot has been written about this age group. It's the largest age group in the workplace today. Gen Y, as they're known, or better known as millennial, roughly born in the between 1980 and 2000. And some of the nightly comedy shows and a lot of negative written about the millennial, or a lot of fun made of that age group. But but I've been learning because I'm out there, as Sir Chris can attest to, is that this is a very important generation. They are forming things. They're actually moving now into leadership. They're at that age now where we're starting to see that. There's a lot of value that they bring to the workplace. They do have a different come from that the other generations that we've spoken about in the other four generations, so five generations in the workforce. A millennial was raised in a world that has included terrorism and school attacks and September 11. It's a generational group that's grown up more protected and sheltered by their parents, but probably because of a lot of that. They've grown up in a time of great economic growth. They are steeped in technology. They know how things work. They highly value diversity and other people's personal beliefs, which is refreshing. They view themselves as part of a global community. They're at ease with the multicultural environments that we talk about on this podcast quite frequently. And the millennial, Gen Y, is a generation very self-confident and independent.
Yeah.
So after framing all that up, let's dive in.
Man, I'm impressed. That's a sophisticated list of accomplishments, or even, I should say, maybe perspectives or viewpoints that they have. I am excited about not only having Eric in the room and talk about this, but really just to kind of unpack this conversation. Perry and I have been talking a lot about different cultures and leading different types of what we'll call cultures, whether it's race, whether it's age, whether it's experience, whatever it is. And John gets asked probably this question more than anything. How do you lead the millennials? Like, what is it, right? And John always laughs and has some thoughts to that. And so with Eric being here today, he's going to kind of speak right from it. Not only is he a millennial, but he's involved in our culture and represents John in other organizations. So, Eric, let's start with, from your perspective, give us a little bit of some of your thoughts on the strengths and then even some of the struggles that that millennials have in the workplace today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think before we dive into that, I think let's start by saying we got to be careful not to be too general, right? These stereotypes, when you hear the word millennial, it often has a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. So just like any generation, there's exceptions to the rules and really we're framed by, yes, our upbringing from a worldview, but also from, you know, different geographical regions, socioeconomic groups, our family dynamics. So we got to be careful about saying how are millennials X, Y, or Z, you know, start throwing and filling
just,
the blank.
Just because of a date.
Because of a date, yeah, exactly, because it'll be different. Now, what we'll talk about today is kind of an overall narrative, some common themes of millennials. So when you ask about strengths and struggles, as a leader, anyone out, our listeners out there leading millennials, keep in mind they'll be different from person to person. But for an overall theme, what I would say, because of our upbringing, right, the experiences we had growing up in those pivotal, you know, early years that formed our perspective of the world, of the workplace, what you start understanding is, you know, technology was around very heavily for us. So we grew up with that. That was something we're very intuitive with. So leveraging technology, the efficiencies of it, we adopted it a lot quicker than mm-hmm. you'll see some of the older generations who even at times would use it as a sticking point for us. Say, man, you guys are always on your phones and you're going to not be able to have those interpersonal skills and you don't make eye contact when you talk. And now, I mean, you can't go anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're old, younger, in the middle, everyone's glued to a screen and losing some of those. Yeah. It's an epidemic, but technology, so we know how to leverage it, right? You had mentioned some of the optimism of our generation. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to really frame it up, you got to look back to our upbringing, like I said, and who influenced our upbringing, which was the generation before us, our parents. So what they, you know, what I experienced in my family, again, that's what I could speak to personally, mm-hmm. and then actually knowing I was going to be on this podcast, reached out to a few friends in the workplace just to get some other perspectives from other millennials, is a lot of times what you see is a generation of parents that are now wanting to come in and make sure they are raising happy, healthy, young little boys and girls and, you know, wearing helmets and knee pads. You protect them. You never put them in anything dangerous. Tell them how special they are. Everyone gets to participate, get a trophy. And it was all well-intended, but that's what led to some of what will be called that entitlement feeling and whatnot. I would say that at the end of the day, the strengths that I'll reference, what you'll see is the struggles are going to be pretty much the flip side of those strengths.
Yeah, the backside of it.
And that's it. You know, which we talk about that at the John Maxwell Companies. You'll see that your blind spots are usually on the flip side of what the strength is. And so I want to reference, our friend Tim Elmore, he came and spoke at an event we did a couple years ago, and I remember he painted this picture, used a word picture, and so I thought it applied so well. But he said, the scene that we live in, S-C-E-N-E, the scene that we live in today, and he used each of the letters to kind of frame it out. He said, the S is for speed. We live in a world where everything's fast and instantaneous, right? We have it accessed immediately. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is that can lead us to believe that slow is bad, right? That anything that's slow or takes time is bad. The C is convenience, right? So we're sitting there, and we want things to be convenient. We want it to be easy. We want it to help us. And I love my conveniences in my world. But the problem is the flip side of that leads us to think that hard is bad.
Right.
If it's difficult, then it's bad, right? Then the first E is entertainment. Guys, we live in a world full of entertainment. At our fingertips, man. Everywhere you look, there's media, something to entertain you. Great. It's fun to be entertained. But the flip side of that is that boring can be bad, right? So we start to think boring's bad. The other end, or the N, is nurture. And I think, again, we just talked about it. Well-intended parents wanted to nurture us, tell us how special we are, and love on us and protect us and set us up for all that success. But then the flip side of that, if we're all nurtured, we can think that risk is bad. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the last E is entitlement. Again, we get that entitlement feeling, I should have this. And then the world we live in, that's spewed at us every day.
Yeah.
Right? You deserve this. This should be yours. Go, you do you and make you happy. Well, the flip side of that is that if we're entitled to everything, then labor or work can be bad. So you think about all the words that we just talked about being the struggles or the bad, slow, you know, difficult, boring, risk, and labor. Those are the things that build character and make you the person that you're going to be, a quality, well-rounded person. So I like using that picture just to show a little bit about, yes, the world we live in has some good conveniences and the strengths, but the flip side of that is if we don't keep aware of it, then we're going to fall into the trap of the other side of that.
Well, and I think what I love you sharing, just even that perspective, and Tim's a dear friend of ours, and I love that word picture, is it allows us that are listening, that are leading millennials, to have a different perspective, right? To understand the lens of which you're seeing things through, that'll allow us to lead you better. So talk to us a little bit about, as a millennial, from a leadership perspective, and that's what you do on a daily basis for John and for us with organizations about culture and leadership development. What is it that leaders, you gave us a lot to be aware of, right? But what do we need to be, when you think about being led or the other millennials being led in the organization, what is it that, we need to know from you? Like, how best can we lead you? How have the millennials that you've worked with from the John Maxwell Company and other organizations commented on or have successful leaders? What is it that they're doing that we could share with our listeners that may add value to them from a leadership standpoint?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll actually give you a little bit of praise here, Chris, as my
leader. Paying them under the table.
That's right. Here comes. $20.
Yeah. Oh, Perry just all of a sudden got back engaged in our conversation.
Millennials sucking up.
I will say, so again, it's definitely specific to the millennial generation, but it also is every generation. When you're leading someone, we all fall in this trap. We step into a relationship and we start to expect and to think that everyone else thinks like us, right? This is the world I live in, how I think. And so we automatically assume that that other person probably has the same perspective, which any generation, those perspectives are going to be different. So I would say, don't step into your leadership with any generation, but specifically for our conversation today with the millennial generation, thinking that they think like you about the world, because they don't.
They don't.
Right? And so how do you fix that, right? So you got to get to know your people. Right? And that's again, universal to all generations, but when we talk about a generation, my generation, that we like to feel valued, we want to know that our work is appreciated, that we're doing something meaningful. Well, in order to do that, you got to get to know your people, get to know their motivations, have a high degree of, you know, Daniel Goleman, father of emotional intelligence. The way you connect with
EQ
people.
Side of things, yeah.
EQ, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's interpersonal skills. And what do? You connect, you value people, develop relationship. And when you do that, you'll start to get to know the person, what they value, and you can help motivate them and lead them based off your knowledge and that relationship there.
I think I read a statistic the other day, and Perry, I'll throw it back to you, to where 80% of your career success, not just the job, is tied to your ability to handle EQ with your team, right? Mm-hmm. Career success. 20% of it, they're saying you got to know what you're doing, but you don't have to be great at it, quote unquote, if 80% of the time you can focus on the people.
Right? Yeah, right. And quickly there, so I hit on it briefly, but again, as a leader, just to be aware of, do not cast an assumption about somebody just because of an age, a date, or a term, millennial, that you think you know how they tick. That goes into getting to know them, because you step in and go, I got a millennial on my hands. You know, what do I need? Do I need to throw in open office space, beanbags, and gourmet coffee to make him happy?
Of course, yeah.
Avocado toast.
We actually talk about the stereotyping being one of the key unconscious bias. And we, on a previous podcast, we mentioned that stereotyping can be a devastating thing to do. Really hinder your ability to engage your workforce. Eric, I hear it reported a lot and see it in several places that millennial really wants to make a difference, that a difference in their own lives, a difference in the world. They want to work on meaningful things. They want to work on purposes bigger than themselves. I've seen these headlines. How does this show up for you at work and in your day-to-day life?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I would hope that to be true about every generation, right? Don't you want to think that people out there want to feel like they're doing something meaningful, making a difference, and bettering the world? Right? So I know we get the kind of credit for it and put that characteristic on us, but hopefully everyone's doing it. But yeah, specifically to our generation, it's, you know, we do want to make a difference. Now, little side note here, we also want to make a dollar too. So it's you hear people talking about, how do we motivate them? The salary is not the most meaningful thing. Figure out how to let them know that they're making a difference. If we're going to be honest, yes, we all want to have that job where if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. But if we're going to step into corporate America right now, right, think about any generations now, specifically millennials, if money wasn't an issue and they had all the money in the world, would they still be doing what they're doing right there? Right? And so we want to make a difference, but I think it's a both and. We want to make a difference. We want to get compensated for that difference as well. You know what it speaks to me about that desire to have a meaningful impact is that the millennials have this understanding or this desire for a transcending cause, right? That thing that's bigger than them. And so as an organization or as a leader, what you need to be very, very intentional and aware of is creating a culture that's going to offer them that transcending cause. That why, you know, how can you connect what they are doing with the ultimate business goals, success of the organization? Because then they start getting tied to the bigger thing. Because if not, we will default to what most humans will default to in making ourselves the transcendent cause. Yeah. And then that selfishness starts kicking. How can I progress myself? How can I be my advocate for me to make myself great? When if you have a culture with that transcending cause you can connect their work to, that's what's going to motivate and get them feeling like they're doing
fulfilling. I kind of agree with that about it being why is kind of important for everybody. Specifically for the millennial. I get that a little different motivation, but I love that everybody in your team should know why.
The things you're talking about, it's funny. I'm sitting here and you started us out by saying, hey, let's not put a stereotype on the millennials. We're still people, right? But people talk about the fact that millennials this, millennials that. And even some, not even, all of the things that you're sharing, to Perry's point, are true core to leading any generation.
Sure.
You've just given us a little bit of a different perspective on what's kind of important to you and what you guys think about, right? And even back to you talked about, you know, you're better with technology. Eric and I have the privilege of working together every day. And so from a technology standpoint, I will go to him first before some of my other team members. I'll go to him first before I even try to do something technology because he has just grown up with that. And so when John talks about lead where you're strong, team where you're weak, man, there's such an opportunity to partner with people from all different generations, right? Whether it's older from a wisdom, knowledge, whatever, younger and more technology, whatever it is, right? There doesn't need to be this stereotype about millennials. Like, figure out how best to work together and what that looks like. Okay, so let's change gears just a little bit from your moving from your kind of perspective, your personal thoughts being a millennial, to the fact that every day we get the privilege of talking to organizations, working with organizations. I know you were on the road this week for us with some organizations and doing some work around culture and leadership. And inevitably, all of these organizations have millennials. And you hear challenges, you hear pain points, you hear opportunities every day. Talk to us a little bit about those pain points and maybe even specifically what you're hearing around the world from corporate America on leading millennials that may be different than something you've already shared with us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, to your point, I get the pleasure of working with a lot of different organizations, different industries, different levels within those companies at the organization. So I do get that broad perspective. What I see is one of the biggest struggles, and we've already talked about it a little bit, is that assumption that if you have a millennial tag on you, that everyone automatically knows what kind of person you are, what trouble you're going to bring, but then also we can use them for their technology skills, right? So labeling right out the gate, sometimes we get the call that's, hey, got to figure out how to lead this younger generation. You know, they're all entitled, and they think they need a promotion every 6 months, and, you know, I mentioned earlier, do we do open office space and we put a ping pong table in? Is that how we're going to motivate them?
Right.
And so, again, what we're hearing is just a lack of understanding of the generation as a whole.
Yeah.
And all that takes, all it takes is investing a little bit of intentionality and getting to understand them.
And connect, right? And connect. Level 2 foundation is connecting to your people.
That is 100%. Because once you do that, and I know you guys have heard you on the podcast talk about the 5 levels a lot. Once you start deploying some of that methodology, Level 2 being foundational to the relational connection, what happens is, you know, as a generation, as a person, you feel valued, you feel understood, you're connected through communication, you're establishing trust with your leader.
Yeah.
When those things happen, then all of a sudden you start to get the best out of your people. You get that
discretionary effort.
That's it. You took it right out of my mouth. Like, that's right.
The ability to connect. And we talk about John labels Level 2 as where people want to follow you, and his subtitle word is relationships. And a lot of times I'll mention that, but I quickly go to the word connect, because there's a lot of things. There are leaders right now, that senior leaders, that are like, I don't want to build a relationship with Eric, right? Because we don't have anything in common. What they do, but there's different ways to connect versus just building relationships. And I think leaders need to keep that in mind, that they don't have to be buddy-buddy, but there are great ways to connect. All kinds of things connect: adversity, projects, values, all kinds of stuff. So Perry, jump in right there.
We mentioned a bit earlier, millennials are now getting to that age where you're becoming our leaders, taking leadership positions, first line, second line managers, and you're affecting the workplace when all our leaders are, where Gen Ys come from. And I wondered how you see this millennial becoming leaders. What can we expect?
Massive world domination. Yeah, no. it's, I love seeing this, right? This transition into my generation stepping into those leadership roles. And some of my buddies are in that now. Some are on their way. Some have, you know, has started off, took on leadership roles pretty early and are well into a career of leadership. There are a lot of things that will apply to any generation when it comes to developing your influence and leadership, right? So there are those foundational pieces. What I'm seeing in this generation that I think we need to be aware of it as the millennials, it takes two to tango, right? So we can sit here and go, man, they just don't understand us. You know, whether it be the next generation down or the generation above us, why aren't they working harder to get to know us? We have to do it too, right? So we need to step in and take the initiative, say, well, I need to, A, help them learn how to lead me, and B, how do I lead them, right? How do I lead up to my people above me? And then as we emerge into these leaders, sometimes we're leading people that are older than us, generations above us, and we step into that leadership role. How are you connecting to those people? And I think George Orwell said every generation thinks that they're more intelligent than the generation ahead of them, and they're much more wise than the generation behind them.
Right. Yeah, so he was correct, by the way.
Perry and I are looking at each other. Yeah. Call me sir.
So I would just say, you know, awareness as we move into the leadership roles, to not make some of the same mistakes that we complained about with the leaders above us, not understanding us, because you know what? The next generation behind us is going to be looking at us the same way.
Yeah, and I think that's key. And as we kind of wrap up here and talk about some takeaways and conclusion moving forward, two things that you said that I think is spot on with millennials becoming more prevalent in the leadership space and organizations. And that first one is that if you are a millennial and you're beginning to take on those roles, everything that you wish your leader had done with you to connect, I would encourage you to do that with everybody that's older and younger than you. And so change the mindset, as Eric had said, whereas, hey, now you've got to own responsibility. The thing I would say for those that maybe aren't in the millennial, quote unquote, year range, I would tell you to go back to what Eric talked about from Tim Elmore with the scene and understand that each one of those is very accurate. And the organization and the culture is going to have a bent towards that. And you need to understand that and be aware of it. And it'll make you accept it, appreciate it, and it'll increase your engagement level if you understand where your leader is coming from. The pace is going to be faster. There's going to be, you know, in each one of those things is going to happen with the millennials moving more and more into the leadership space.
Absolutely. Well, this has been fascinating, and I'm kind of smiling knowing that you're going to get to lead Gen Z. Congratulations. So thank you, Eric, for joining us today in our World Studios. You didn't mention how impressed you were. Chris, always great insight. So just a reminder for our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or perhaps even have a five levels workshop at your organization, please log into johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast, and you can have more information there as well as leave us a comment or a question. We always love to hear from you. That's it for today. Thank you very much for joining us. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.